with Wally and Flip, the Routines Pod. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wally and Flip.
I'm Wally.
And I'm Flip, and welcome back to another episode. Silence. The silence heard around the world, I think.
I know, sometimes there was something about the men's free skate. I think I just thought it was so predictable that, like, I wasn't engaged. And looking back, I really wish I was more engaged.
I know, because I was so nervous for Adam, Yuma, and Ilya. It just was like no one else was even in the conversation in my mind, because I was so hopeful it was going to be a Montreal podium.
Shall we just level set then on the podium? Do we just want to start talking about men since that's top of mind?
Sure. We'll definitely start talking about men because it's the most fresh. But earlier this week, I had thought, what else can we talk about except dance? Because there's so much to unpack. Now, I'm like, dance who?
I know. And this whole week has just been exhausting. Both of the events left me feeling totally different types of ways. And neither of them are positive experiences, though.
Isn't that true? I feel like it was like the two evils of the sport. One being unfair judging, which we're very familiar with in ice dance. And the other being, I don't even want to say inconsistency, cracking under pressure.
Yeah, like just immense amount of pressure and
not able to handle it. We saw Ilya, Yuma, and Adam all crack. I mean, let's level set on the podium. We have Shaidarov in first place, Yuma Kagiyama in second, and Shun Sato in third. I mean, Shaidarov without question absolutely crushed it. It was Boston Worlds part two, but I think better because I do feel like he has improved.
And I think if we were there in person, we would have seen it a lot more. I mean, we felt that way even in Boston. The way he skates, it cannot be caught by camera. Yeah.
And you know what? If Shaidarov skated for a large federation, he'd be getting points out the wazoo.
I saw this camera angle after the fact, and it really showed how much ice that Mihail covers during his triple axel quad sal, which when you were watching it live, when you were watching it at the time on camera, it did not look like that.
I mean, the triple axel quad sal is such a blockbuster. And I think the same can be said about, you know, a lot of different jumps, that anybody outside of the figure skating fandom isn't going to recognize. What they're going to recognize is like a clean skate, fast skating, beautiful skating.
And backflips.
That's been made very clear. The backflips get people going. I saw people say regarding Ilya, like the Facebook folks, they were like, at least he did the backflip.
Listen, it's great when figure skating gets more recognition and everything, but these four-year fans, I'm sorry. Sometimes it gets to me.
I wish I would have taken some screenshots of the four-year fan comments.
We should.
Because sometimes I was like, heck yeah, let me read this one. I don't want to get into dance, but it made me laugh. Oh, actually, it's with both men in dance. Someone said, at least Shaidarov truly won his gold medal. Congratulations. Parentheses. The French couple surely knows the medal they're holding does not belong to them.
Is that a four-year fan though? I think we would say
yes.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, referring to them as the French couple.
Okay. Well, that part, but I mean, the sentiment of the messaging does not sound like a four-year fan.
But it rings true.
Very much.
Back to men. I don't have much else to say about Shaidarov. I mean, first of all, Johnny Weir and Tara were not taking him seriously at all. First, they made the comment, planting seeds for the next Olympic cycle. That's hilarious. And also hilarious because it's like he's the world silver medalist. He qualified for the Grand Prix final this year. Like, this isn't totally, like, out of left field. Johnny also referred to him as a juggling clown.
As a what?
Looked like he was part of a circus.
That is really, I would say, grotesque. Why would you say that?
I mean, it's just too far. Does that piece of choreography in the diva dance look like he's juggling? I was like, you know what? Actually, kind of. Johnny has a point, but that's something you maybe just like don't say.
Oh, I thought you said a jumping clown. Regardless.
Juggling.
Regardless.
Do you know the move I'm talking about?
I do, but I love that move. It's like my favorite part of the whole thing.
It's like so absurd, but I do like right. it. I actually saw a clip of Junwon Cha watching on the side doing it.
It's like I look forward to it.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, so Johnny, bye. But this is what I will say about Mihail. First off, huge congratulations. To your point.
Huge.
Not just does he deserve it. He is a great skater. He's really working on himself. Amazing technical skill. And the biggest regret I have is not enjoying his performance at the time. I just was not into it yet. And I
know, but you know what? Johnny also said, this is the first time this season I enjoyed watching this program. And I was like, I agree with you.
Right. I guess I just wanted it to, I just wish at the time I knew how big it was going to be because it was a great program.
It was. I'll have to go back and rewatch. I really haven't rewatched anybody with the exception of Ilya because I totally blanked out for the second half of the program. So I watched it again today. And I think we all probably remember how fast that program went by at the time. Went by even faster rewatching it. It is like the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
I will probably never watch it again. It was too traumatic. And I just choose not to relive that moment ever again.
And maybe we'll get to it more. At the end of the day, it is a competition. It's not about who has the highest technical content, even who's the most beautiful skater out there with the best skating skills. It's who can perform the best on the biggest stage in the world. And he was the only one who did that. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about Ilya?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say. I just feel so bad for him. That's what I'll say. Like, my heart hurts for him.
That was a tough, tough watch. He made the comment after his skate, which was obviously, he was very emotional. I wouldn't put any weight to this, but he made the comment, if they would have sent me to Beijing in 2022, this never would have happened. In a way, like, he could be 100% right, but also, if they sent him to Beijing, he could have won. You never know, right? In the same way, he could have gone to Beijing, had a horrible skate, and came to Milano, and also had a terrible skate. So coulda, shoulda, woulda. I actually think now he has something to really fight for. Do you think we're going to see him at Worlds?
Yes.
I think we will, whether he wants to or not, because U.S. figure skating is going to put pressure on him to go and earn those spots. But to me, he has nothing to prove to any of us. We all know he can win Worlds. So it's like, if he wants to take some time off and get ready for next year, I would be like, more power to you.
Yeah, the only reason I say yes to going to Worlds is not for him. It's really for the sake of spots for next year. Like, it's not for him to your point, prove anything.
Whether U.S. figure skating needs those men's spots or not, whatever, but I know that's something that's very important to them. Yeah. So, and I have no idea what he's feeling.
And also just want to say about the comment that he made in the Kiss and Cry, like, who cares? He's upset. Like,
that's why I said it was an emotional
exactly.
comment.
But yeah. And I'm not directing that at you, Flip. I just mean in general, like, some of the stuff that happened immediately after has been blown out of proportion on social media. And like,
oh, really?
Well, all of the stuff about how Roman's had his head in his hands. Okay, he's probably upset too.
Well,
like,
of course.
Let's give them a minute. Like, the immense amount of pressure is not just from, like, typical NBC and that type of media. It's also from fans or not fans and just random people saying whatever they'd like to on social media.
People say that about anybody.
He's gotten a lot of hate this year for really no reason.
You know what's funny is I feel like I don't see that much hate on him, to be honest with you. I see criticism. I don't see a lot of true hate. But yeah, I mean, now I will say, I think after this, I think he has a lot of sympathy who I see people going after, and not even to say they're going after. I mean, people are going after the media and NBC, no question. And I think they should. I see people kind of going after like his parents as coaches, not even them personally, but just calling out like that can't be an easy situation for anybody to train with your parents full time and then go home and have to take that home with you. Whether you try to leave it at the rink or not, how realistic is that to leave it everything at the rink or everything at the competition?
No, I think the whole parent thing, like, we have no idea what the relationship is.
100%. And
I think it looks, nothing has ever made us believe that it's not a great relationship. And I don't know why yesterday makes people think any differently.
I don't think it's that. I think it's just calling out the challenge of that relationship. Not to say it's bad or great. It's just how that can be challenging and a different, unconventional relationship that other people have with their family. So it's hard for people to understand.
Yeah.
And I think people are really trying to find a reason and an explanation as to why this happened. And I don't think anybody knows, including Ilya. It was just a moment of the pressure got to him. And it happened to a heck of a lot of other athletes. And crazy enough, a lot of them happen to be U.S. athletes.
Right. Well, just think about all of the pressure that's been put on him.
We have not seen the last of Ilya Malinin. That is for darn sure. I actually don't think we've seen the last of any of these top men. I might have thought, is this going to be Adam Siakhin-Fuzz last year? 26. He's still, you know, kind of like middle age when it comes to men's figure skating. With the next Olympics in France, I say no way he's staying.
I hope so. Because I had also heard that during warm-up, like both Adam and Ilya were doing like phenomenal jumps. So yeah. It's just so funny how it all can change. I mean, it's not that, well, it's not funny. You can see how it can. It's the most stressful moment of your life.
Yuma was the one who surprised me the most that he wasn't able to keep it together because he has been here before and he has skated extremely well. He won the silver in 2022 with two fabulous clean skates. So he really surprised
me. See, but Yuma did not skate like that because it was the Olympics. Yuma has been struggling with his long program for the past several years. We could think of multiple instances where that long program just like eludes him. He's not able to get back to your point, that standard that he had in 2022. I imagine a lot's due to injury.
And I also saw his father made a comment. He feels like if he didn't push the extra technical content, adding in the quad flip, training the quad lutz for Yuma, how would this have been different? If he just focused on, you know, the quad toes and the quad sals, and he had a clean program here. Again, coulda, shoulda, woulda. You cannot think like that. Like, you do what you think is right in the moment. And I think they had a point in chasing that quad flip and the quad lutz and the quad loop. I don't know if he was still training that or not. But when you're competing against people like Ilya and even Mihail, like, you have to at least try.
Exactly. You always have to have a strategy, and sometimes it works well, sometimes it might not. And I also, we all know this, but it was so evident how much a pop jump can cost you, more than if you just hang in there and fall.
It's so costly.
It's so costly.
Let's pivot and talk about some positives.
Yes, our roses.
Name your first rose.
Steven Gogolev. What a rose.
Great job.
This Olympics.
We've been calling him out all season for really like no reason. He's really not done much for us to be like, oh yeah, Gogolev's going to like be something one day. After this, I really think he is. I think he's going to get another quad. I think he used to be able to do, definitely like when he was a junior, I'm not sure if he competed it, but like when he was training with Raf, Raf would always be like, oh, Steven Gogolev's up and coming and he has all the quads in training. And then obviously when he got injured and like grew 7 feet to be a total of 12 feet tall, he lost some of those jumps. So I think he's going to be like, he's going to join the top men starting next year.
I can't wait to see what happens at Worlds. Like, there's a, dependent on who we see there, Gogolev could give some people a run for their money.
They better watch out because he's also improved so much from like the artistic perspective. That's so evident in the short program, not so much the long.
But I will say, after I gave the long program some hate in our last episode, this was the best like long that I've actually enjoyed watching. I think some of it was attributed to his beautiful landings, as well as the way he did the step sequence on Friday.
Great.
Like, you know that one part I'm talking about where it's like,
I know, yes.
My favorite part.
It was better than the... It was definitely better than the team event in terms of the execution of the choreography.
100%.
Watch out, worlds. Do you want me to give a rose? Yes. I'm sorry. All three USA men making the free skate.
100%. I put that in my notes, specifically from the short program. Was so proud of all of them. And speaking of another quad...
Proud.
Torgy's got to get another quad.
Sorry. I could have sworn he competed quad style at some point.
Yeah, I can't recall. The toe just always comes to mind. And I only say he needs another quad because we just saw some gorgeous skating from him at the Olympics. And to just remain super competitive with his other peers, he needs a little bit higher tech.
And even though he made that like ridiculous comment, again, I think it was just overly emotional around Jason Brown in the first half of the season, I do think he's one of the top men in terms of skating quality, component, just overall component scores. I think he's really up there. I don't think he's far off from Jason. I hope he continues because I think there's more to be seen from him.
Yeah, and when he said that, he also was like barely landing his jumps in his program. So I agree. That's what happens.
And also, have to call out Max Naumov. I did not have a lot of hope in the short program, and he crushed it. And despite the mistakes in the free skate, he still delivered like a beautiful performance and like I think had a great Olympic moment. He was just happy to be there, and we were happy to see him there.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many great short programs. Let's just say June, Kirillo, Adam. It was a work of art.
Oh, it was an amazing event. I was like, this, and especially coming off the team event, it was such a high for everybody. And then the men's short, and it was like, this is going to be the greatest Olympics ever.
And then,
Okay.
Can I give you my three thorns from the short? Because some of these are fun.
Yes.
Not fun.
Okay.
Vlad.
Litvinitsa?
Yeah. Poor thing.
Bro.
Poor thing.
He's a funny one. Yep. We'll see.
It was honestly, we just got robbed from the Joker. That was the worst part of it all.
Robbed.
My second thorn, which... I hope a cameraman hears me for the rest of the Olympics. Stop filming step sequences from an aerial point of view.
I know. You can't see if the turns are clean or not, which now I'm like pay such close attention to because the judges are like all, or not the judges, the tech panel is all of the sudden like the strictest they've ever been with step sequences this year.
And that goes to my third thorn, that Adam's step was only a level 3.
The twizzle was messed up.
Yeah, like...
So that's what took him down to a step level 3.
In retrospect, it didn't matter. But at the time, I was like, I can't believe it. And then this is not a thorn nor a rose, but this is just a thought I had during the short. I put, Raph is the figure skating grandpa. Don't you feel that?
I'm just happy to see him there. Because he said he wanted to retire, but it's like he can't stay away. Which I kind of love.
Well, exactly. And I just... The vibes he gives now than... like 4 years ago with Nathan when he was hardcore into just I'm a coach type vibes. Yeah. He's more of like when Tori got off the ice, he said something like, how did that feel?
It was so cute. Love that. I don't want to say it's a thorn. It's just a comment. It's like a rose and a thorn because I enjoy it to a degree, but also it's okay. I'll just say it. Daniel Grassel thinks his short program is, like, highly sensual.
Oh, yeah.
It's misplaced with the music. I don't understand it, but it kind of cracks me up every time.
So, I never noticed it till you pointed it out. I agree with you. The music is not sensual. But what I will say, Daniel does a good job with those types of moves, so maybe we should get him that type of music.
Really? I'm talking about the part of the program where he's staring at the judges and he's like, shoulders are rolling and he's like making eyes. at the judges. But that was fun. One thing I noticed here, just I think across all of the men, a lot of them need to work on spins. A lot.
Sometimes I'm wondering, do you think the Olympic judges are being easier on rotation calls and then just absolutely yes. crucifying everyone on their spins?
But the spins weren't good. Even Yuma, who usually has like perfect centered spins, no question on the levels, like everything put together. Even some of his spins, I were like, oh man, ugh. I mean, Shun's never been a spinner. Mm-hmm. Shiderov, not terrible, not good. Not good. Even Dennis, who I always think is such a wonderful spinner. I look forward to his spins. Not good this week. I don't know what happened. So maybe it was something with the ice.
Oh, well, you know, that's the next big excuse. Everyone's saying there was something wrong with the ice.
Exactly, though. You see what I mean, though? People have to find some type of explanation.
Yeah, even though we all know what the explanation is. It just was pressure. The end.
Okay, wait. Can I read the note I put after Mikhail's performance?
Yes.
This is hilarious. Misha's diva dance, for some reason, didn't seem as weird today. He delivered. Could podium.
Could.
Could podium. Could.
And just to circle back to what we very first talked about, it was really nice to just see, like, Mikhail's total excitement and just disbelief at him just keep being like a bronze, then a silver. Like by the time he found out he won gold, he was just absolutely shook. And then to go to Ilya, he handled everything, leaving that kiss and cry with grace, ease, such a heartfelt moment with Mikhail. And then when they shoved the camera in his face again, he gave a very mature interview.
Heck yeah. And we also have to call, I know you mentioned Jianwan Cha already. I mean, boy oh boy, does history repeat itself. He fell on the quad toe in 2022, and he fell on the quad toe again here. Jianwan Cha, if you compete in 2030, there is no quad toe. That is being taken out. If he did not do the quad toe, he, I think, could have medaled over Shun.
It was all just so very close in general, like, Shun did not have that in the bag, right?
No.
If just a few...
He made error. There were errors.
Right, like, if just a few things would have changed, we would be looking at such a different result. Like, there are... June had 273.92 total. Steven Gogolev, 273.78 total. And Shun was at 274.9. It was a matter of a level.
What if Gogolev would have medaled? That would have been the biggest, like...
And it was close.
Lightning bolt of like, what? I know, that is crazy. I didn't realize it was so
even
close.
Peter.
A point.
Yeah, Peter
Gamenek
was 271.21.
That was close, man. I mean, honestly. And you know what? I think the judges kind of helped Shun a little bit. He earned it fair and square. I have nothing to say, but I do think the judges helped Shun a little bit. And I think that was maybe from the momentum from the team event. Anything else to say about these wonderful men?
Good fight from Cal Mura in the long, coming back from that short.
I'd love to see that.
That was great. But no, I mean, we could talk about probably each and every one of them, but...
Everyone.
We gotta talk about dance.
I know. Let's just level set right out of the gate, because I'm sure nobody knows who's listening. FBC. Fournier, Bougerie, Cizeron in first. Let's just refer to them as FBC for the remainder of this podcast.
Yes, please.
Okay. Chalk and Bates in second. Piper and Paul in third. Thank you.
Finally.
I was like, you know what? At least Piper and Paul walked away with a medal. That would have been the toughest pill to swallow if we had FBC on the podium and Lila and Lewis.
I know.
At least I can sleep at night now. I think what makes me, like, the most disturbed from the ice dance competition is that for a sport that is as fake and contrived as ice dance, which, it, by the way, it doesn't have to be like that, but the judges choose to make it like that, and we'll get into it, right? The judges could have chose to stand behind Chalk and Bates here, and they chose to stand behind FBC instead. And I don't know why. It was evident right? Like, we all know the errors. We've all seen the videos flooding social media of the errors they made and how those scores were not warranted. Why? Why them? Help me.
It is a million-dollar question.
I don't understand. And you know what? Maddie and Evan, I think we all knew this was a possibility. It definitely wasn't a probability in my mind, but it was possible. Maddie and Evan looked completely unprepared from an emotional perspective. They did not see that coming.
So here are my two responses to that. First off, A, they were led to believe that they would win based off the previous scoring at previous events, right? Like, let's just...
Fair enough.
Obviously, a Grand Prix final, there was a huge mess in the free dance by FBC. But in the rhythm dance, Chalk and Bates clearly outshined them. Thus, why would they think otherwise? And my second point is, they didn't make a mistake. Why would Chalk and Bates think that they wouldn't win when they didn't make a mistake?
And they know better than anybody in that arena, or most people watching at home, what an error looks like. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And it's like, does FBC have stronger skating skills? Yeah. Hello. But that's never mattered before.
Exactly.
It didn't matter at Grand Prix Final.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I feel horrible for Chalk and Bates. I think it stinks. And it's so irritating to me. But also, you have to remember, Chalk and Bates, I think in 2023, I don't really think they should have won Worlds that year. I think that really should have gone to Charlene and Marco of Italy. Remember, Maddie fell on her bum hard. It wasn't in an element, but I think it was enough to take them off the top of the podium. 2024, if you're a listener of the podcast, you know... Piper and Paul should have won that year. Again, Chalk and Bates had a major error on the stationary lift at the beginning. I think it was a level 2. Maybe it was even a base level. I'm not sure. Large error. They could have given it to Piper and Paul. So it's like Chalk and Bates have benefited over these last 3 years from this corrupt system. And now they're on just the other receiving end, unfortunately.
But, I mean, it would be hard to know this off the top of our heads, but what did the scoring look like? Was it just because on, let's say, their rhythm dance, they had such a lead over the other, and it was still to some degree accounted for? My problem is, I think that the errors that FBC made are accounted for in the scoring.
They're not.
But to your point about the Maddie and Evan example, they did go down levels in that lift that they had an error on.
That's true. But the judges still made sure to, like, compensate in the other elements.
Right.
So that they would still be on top.
I hear you. But then they should have done something of the sorts here. It's that close that it would have evened out that Maddie and Evan would have won if they would have accounted for the fact of the twizzle mess up more, as well as the
lift. Two twizzle errors. Three twizzle errors. Because in the step sequence, they both missed the twizzle. And Guillaume fell out of his twizzle and tried to do, like, a spread eagle thing.
Right. Like, since when are we allowed to do that?
Bro, we see you. We see you.
Not a thing.
You're, like, very tall and, like, we see you. You can't hide behind her.
No.
Piper and Paul, though, my God, was that not the greatest free dance?
Yes. And it is much better now, knowing just the origin story of the free dance.
Oh,
that
God,
certainly helps put everything into perspective and gives it more meaning.
They were just, like, the cutest people ever, too. Like, seeing how excited they were when they see the scores and confirmed the medal.
Yeah, that's a rose. You know what's another rose would be? Emily and Vadim.
Oh, my God. Yes, I love them. They could be... Look, here's all I'll say. I'm going to imagine Chalk and Bates are retiring. I'm going to imagine Piper and Paul. I don't think we're going to see FBC ever again. Charlene and Marco, I think, are surely done. Who do we have left? We have Lila and Lewis. I'm sorry, I don't see a world where Lila and Lewis are the top ice dance team.
One would hope not.
You can't justify it. I think they can be a podium threat. That's fine and well. I get it. This is ice dance we're talking about. Who can you justify? I think Zingis and Kolesnik. I don't know why we all say Kolesnik, because it's Kolesnik. Okay, but anyway, Zingis and Kolesnik have the star quality.
I did see that they had posted Zingis and Kolesnik about talking to a sports psychologist, I believe, before this season. And it was a really great interview that they gave about it. But it really did make all the difference, too, in their skating. They just do come across. And that's where we cut out. We lost the remainder of this episode. I don't even remember what we talked about. I have no idea what happened. I'm not surprised. I mean, we're fitting right in with the men this week. I mean, Friday the 13th, am I right? Honestly, again, I don't even know what else we said. I think we were talking a lot about who the up-and-comers are, and we were really struggling on who's going to step up. Clearly, the judges are ready to rally behind Emily and Vadim. I would love to say Marjorie Lajoie and Zachary Laga are also in the picture. I worry deeply about them. Lapreva and Brissot, I don't know if they have what it takes to make it to the top. I think they could get a bronze medal at a world championships in the near future, but even that, I just don't know. So we really just talked about the uncertainties of ice dance moving into the future, and I think we'll probably talk about it again at world championships this year. So maybe it's better that, you know, we didn't go into great detail of it right now. But that dance event was such a doozy. The men's event was such a doozy. I'm so scared for pairs and women. Pairs not so much, actually, because I do genuinely, like, care about those top pairs teams between Haas and Volodin of Germany, Mira and Kihara of Japan, Deanna and Max of Canada. Hello. Thank God they're competing. I don't have a lot of faith in them, but I'm just happy that they're going to be there. Of course, Metelkina and Berulava. I mean, they're blockbusters minus the lift. So, you know, we have so many great pairs. Conti and Machi. Sorry, how could I forget them? They're our favorite. So I don't see that many ways a pairs event could go wrong, because I'd be happy with, like, any podium possibility. Women, on the other hand, silence again. I mean, I want to think it's going to be Kaori and Alyssa in some order, right? And then who's the third? I really don't know. Could Adelia make a run for the podium? I don't know if the judges are going to rally behind her. We kind of talked about that a little bit. I don't know. I don't want to say I hope not, because I feel bad for her, because, like, she's just a girl, like, trying to make her way in the world. So I feel bad in saying that. Ami could have a Sarah Hughes moment. No question about that. I worry about both Ami Nakai and Amber Glenn, though, even though it's possible for both of them to win. When you have a triple axel in both your short and long program, and it's not the most consistent for either of them, I deeply worry. We also have Mona Chiba. She struggled this season. The judges, I think, have kind of gone after her on her rotations. I don't have a lot of hope in her. I would be thrilled to see her on the podium. We have Isabeau Levito. Would be thrilled to see her on the podium. She has worked so hard these past few years. What a fighter. Hagen Lee, training a triple axel. A pretty decent, looked pretty clean triple axel in practice. So all of this to say, women's event is going to be awesome. I just pray we're going to see clean programs. That is all I can ask for after the men's event. So we will talk to you all next week. We will recap pairs and women. And I can't believe the Olympics is about to be over, but
I think I'm ready for it to be over. It's been exhausting. So see you next week, and thanks for listening. With Wally and Flip, the routine.